Back together, you and I, for a busy edition of Connecticut Today, Tuesday, June 15th, 2021, on Connecticut Today. I open the show with some news and some thoughts on what was found in this year's budget implementer bill regarding state Indian casino money and mascots of around a dozen cities or towns. Later in the show, former Bridgeport State Rep. Chris Caruso, Democrat, called in on that issue. He was skeptical as to what a quick change in state law might be able to achieve. Dr. Jonathan Wharton joined us, PhD from Southern Connecticut State University, on what he sees as a major problem with how Connecticut governs itself. And I also had some thoughts, and we're winding up the podcast with another rat, quote unquote, that we found in that budget implementer bill regarding an issue that a lot of people thought was dead for the current session. Now, hey, Derby, are you listening out there today? Derby, how about a big hand for Derby today? Yes? Derby in the house? Well, you folks who are fans of Derby football, which is about everybody there, you know what they say, when Ansonia meets Derby, that's when you rob a bank. I've heard that for years. You want to rob a bank in either Ansonia or Derby, when they're playing their annual game, that even the cops are all the game. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, boys. The Derby Red Raiders may not be the Derby Red Raiders anymore. How about that, huh? How about that? You're going to have to change your name, Derby. Well, you won't have to, but you might, because the Democratic majority in the State House and Senate, they're going to hold you hostage over this. What am I talking about? You listening, Derby? Are you listening? A couple of stories here. One from our buddy, our pal Ken Dixon in the Connecticut Post. I also have another story. Towns and cities. Now, you know how we talk about the implementer bill? And I've been talking about it. Melissa in the morning's been talking about it. Lisa in the midday's been talking about it. That's where they stick in the little rats. And that's not my word. That's a word the people I know with a capital use. In other words, to implement the budget, you vote on this 900-page bill. It's the details that you don't see because you're also voting for something else. So the implementer, which comes out every 2 years for the Democrat-controlled budgets in the Democrat-controlled House, they stick stuff in there. They stick stuff in there that essentially becomes law because you're voting for this omnibus bill. So for the other stuff that you're familiar with that has actually been debated to become law, you've got to vote for the whole bill. So hence, they stick stuff in there that does not get debated usually in committee or on the floor. So how about this? Listen up, Derby. Towns and cities that continue to have school mascots, images, nicknames, and logos with Native American references could lose millions of dollars under budget triggering legislation that's up for debate, being debated right now in the state Senate special session. What? Yes. Forget it, Derby. The Red Raiders may be gone. Under the bill, which will be discussed by majority Democrats and Republicans in closed-door caucuses, get this. This is how vindictive the Democrats are. Even intramural teams would have to drop Native American references, according to the bill. Municipalities could start to lose funding as soon as July 1. Unless they have a written agreement with the state's historically recognized tribes. Derby High School, with its Red Raiders nickname and Arrowhead logo, is one of the more than dozen in the state that have retained references to Native Americans. Last year, Killingly voted to retain the Red Men nickname and images. The legislation also includes requirements that school districts begin to teach sections of Native American history in the academic year starting in September of 2023. So I made a call this morning, and I called a contact I have up at the Capitol, And I said, I asked this contact, was this bill ever debated? In other words, did this, and this is my point, folks. See, there's two things going on here. And before you call me and start whining about, well, you're not Native American. No, no, no. I understand that's a hot topic. You know, with the Washington football team, I get that. No, this is a separate issue. I called my contact and I said, this thing that just popped up today, which apparently even some town leaders say now they had no idea about this. I asked my friend, was this ever debated as a separate bill? I said, because I don't remember it. And he said, no. He said he went and checked and he found out that the bill had come up in a committee. Okay, and a lot of bills come up in committee, kids, and they don't necessarily go anywhere. They're too controversial. They get rarely voted down, whatever. He said the co-chairs of that committee, I believe the Education Committee, they talked and they said, you know what? This is something better left to local cities and towns to decide. Because not all Native American imagery is considered negative. You have warriors, you have chiefs, whatever. I mean, it differs from team to team, whatever, and state to state, too. And they said, okay, let's leave this up to individual cities and towns. So I guess going into today, everybody thought this bill was at least on a statewide basis dead. But no. It winds up in an 837-page budget implementer. This is my point, folks. This is my point. If you're going to legislate something like this, and if the penalty is going to include losing, and essentially the money that would be lost would be the slot machine money from the Indian casinos. Okay, that should be fully debated and voted on as a separate bill. That's the point. You do not put that into a budget implementer because that's called a rat up at the Capitol. The rats are scurrying. So if you're going to do that, you have an open debate about that. And then after the open debate, then you vote. Then you vote. And that's fair because the cities and towns then know, hey, if we keep this nickname or this logo, it's going to cost us. So I understand what the Democrats are trying to do here, but they slip it into a budget implementer. And why did they do that? Because if it was a separate bill, that may cost them votes next year. You know, local school sports fans are really passionate people, especially when it comes to, geez, I don't know, things like Valley football. So there you go. It's folks, it's sleazy. Now, we can talk about whether or not, and I do have the Facebook question of the day up, we can talk about whether or not you think it's okay to have Native American names for sports teams. Some people do. Some people say it's not a problem. Some people don't like it. Some people say, well, can we get input from the tribes? You know, whatever. But that's a separate issue. My problem with this is how it has been done, how it's done. That's the problem. That is the problem. Now, it was introduced by Kathy Austin, who, of course, is the state senator from the casinos. Everybody knows that. They admit it. I'm not saying anything out of line. However, for example, Killingly is one town that voted to retain the Native American imagery. Here's a quote here from NBC Connecticut story. This is the first I'm hearing about this, quote unquote, said Killingly Town Council Chairman Jason Anderson, a Republican. So, folks, there it is. This is how the majority works in Hartford. They either don't have the gullions to debate something in public. Let's have a debate about it. and then let the chips fall where they are. But they either don't want to debate it, or they either don't want to risk losing votes, or maybe on the other side they say, we'll jam this through in a budget implementer with money attached to it, and that is the ultimate poison pill. And that's sad. That's how politics is done in the General Assembly. 203-333-9422. 333-WICC. So listening, if you're listening from the bustling metropolis of Derby today, how do you feel about that? Because I got news for you, kids. I think this budget implementer is going to go through. I may be wrong. I don't know if they pull this out or not. But if Derby is going to lose, potentially, I don't know if this is actually going to happen. But what are you folks in Derby? What are you going to call the Derby Derby High School Athletics? What are you going to call it? By the way, when we come back, I have a list of the other towns and cities that have Native American lingo. But if you want to keep it, you're going to have to basically pay for it. So now, wait a minute. If we care so much about the Native Americans, we're saying you can keep it as long as you don't take their money. So do we really care or not? Chris Caruso joins us. He was in on the budget process for years. Chris, how are you, sir? What's up?
Good, Paul. Well, you know, Paul, the budget implementer bill is referred to as an aircraft carrier in the legislature.
Is it really?
it's big, bulky. No one wants to get in its way.
Oh, God.
And it's how you pick up votes, because people are afraid to vote against the bill because there's something in there that benefits their town or district.
Yes.
But I don't think the state has a leg to stand on with this. Because if one of the towns takes it to court, I think the town would win. You know,
really?
Under the state charter is home rule, and they have a right to govern themselves. In addition, the casino money, when it's given to the state of Connecticut, there are no ties or restrictions placed on it. So I think any town, if they got together and brought a suit, I think they could win it, because the state of Connecticut can't discriminate in whatever way. The other thing is the U.S. Constitution, the right for freedom of speech, expression. You know, when you said Raiders, it doesn't denote Indians or Native Americans. When you say chieftains, it doesn't denote, Indians or Native Americans. So I think they're going to be hard-pressed to enforce it. I think they're putting it out as a stick, you know, rather than the carrot. Mm. But I think, under legal scrutiny, I don't think it would survive, frankly.
And Chris, from what I understand, from what I've been told, this was discussed in committee, and both the Democrat and Republican leader on the committee said, this is what I was told, Chris, is they said, well, you know what, this is really a local issue, and, you know, this could get greasy on the floor. Let's leave it up to the cities and towns, which is essentially what you're saying here.
Yeah, you know, I think what happened, Paul, it was referred to the committee at the beginning of the legislative session.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is the leadership of that committee screens the various bills.
Mm-hmm.
And as you stated, they probably said, hey, this is an issue we don't need to get into, and they just let the bill die. So it never had a hearing. It was never a committee bill. So it never went out of committee. But somewhere along the line, those legislators that wanted this ban and you know, to support Native Americans, decided to put it into the implementer bill. That's another thing that's a red flag legally, if it went into court. So I think, you know, it's a great try on those people who are trying to restrict this stuff. But I think legally, I just think, you know, under the state constitution, home rule is a fundamental part of the Constitution.
Yeah.
And you can't tell a town, if you do this, we're not going to give you the funding. I don't believe they could do that, you know?
Yeah, and Chris, finally, what I want you to do for us, I want you to go home tonight. You can find the link. Yep. I want you to download all 830 pages of the implementer. I want you to read every line of every page and report and report back to us tomorrow. Okay?
In about a week or two, I'll report back. And that's how much time it will take.
All right, Chris. Thanks. Appreciate it, buddy. Chris Caruso there, former Democratic state rep from Bridgeport. Chris Olwey. I love the way Chris weighs in here. He just calls in and says, okay, here's what's really going on. And that's cool. A semi-regular here on the program. He wrote a great op-ed for the Connecticut News Junkie the other day. In fact, the op-ed, and check it out at ctnewsjunkie.com. Connecticut's recreational marijuana goes up in smoke. But, you know, he says that there's a lot more going on here in the legislative process, which I've been talking about today. Dr. Jonathan Wharton is Associate Dean of the School of Graduate and Professional Studies, Poli-Sci Professor, Southern Connecticut State University. John, it's Paul again. How are you, sir?
Terrific, Paul. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Well, I love the piece you wrote the other day, John. And before we get to the vaunted implementer bill that everybody is pawing through like a fortune cookie today, let's talk about your piece. And you talk about the marijuana issue, but thankfully, John, I love this when you illustrate the greater problem that this all brings to light on.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, because everybody's stuck on whether you're for it or against it. I'm speaking more towards the fact of how it came about and how long of a process this really has been. It's been long overdue, a time overdue to kind of address this, way overdue. And it's unfortunate that it's just been marred in the legislative process that we know too well about in the Connecticut General Assembly.
You know, John, people, and I've tried to, explain to people the odd number years that we're in now. It's a 6-month term session. You do the greasy stuff here. So in the even numbered years next year, when you have to run for reelection, it's only 3 months to kind of tighten up the budget and, rename post offices and stuff like that. But John, every 2 years on the budget and on this questionable stuff, it really comes down to, it's like when I was cramming for a test or when I was procrastinating and writing that 10-page paper that I had known about for 2 months. And that's just not good governance, is it?
It's not good in the classroom, and it's not good for our, General Assembly. It is an unfortunate habit. And as I mentioned, Judge Satter, God bless him, because, he passed a few years ago in his book Under the Gold Dome. He stresses that this has been an ongoing saga of our General Assembly, that they take forever for passage of the bill. And I'll tell you what's serendipitous, which I know you'll appreciate, is that I happen to bump into one of the state lawmakers at work today. Uh-huh. And we couldn't stop talking about that, uh-huh, of how this has been something that's been talked about forever. And yet for him, it's been a struggle for the General Assembly to make a decision on this, and how it's been so, at the last minute of the process right now.
So he tells you, and you don't have to say who this is, obviously, but this lawmaker tells you, John, and I was kind of waxing about this last hour, that they're in a position of, do they vote their conscience? Do they vote their what their constituents are saying? Is it a mix? I mean, I can imagine where that's a problem, but yet it still shouldn't run up against a barrier every year.
Not to mention, our legislative session ended last week. Do they really have to go into special session and do this all over again? It's just surreal, honestly, Paul. And any listener who should have an understanding of the legislative process should recognize that there's something called a time frame of which you're supposed to pass bills, in which you just even spoke about. It should not be done at the last minute, and even during a special session. This is highly unusual for a legislative piece that is almost 300 pages long.
And John, I get yelled at by people on this show here, but, and God knows it would take manipulating the state constitution, but, is, John, the way to remedy this maybe to go to, and I know people's heads bleed when I say it, but do you go to a full-time legislature? Do you say, listen, we're going to get rid of all these goalposts so you will have plenty of time to act like adults and do better lawmaking?
Look, I've been divided on this very issue. I think very well I've been on WNPR a few times concerned about whether it should be a full-time or a, part-time. Technically, we're a hybrid legislature, right, where we meet during a session. I think the intention of our founders, and I'm not talking about the national, because everybody's stuck on Washington.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. We had founders, right? Too, in Connecticut. Yes.
Imagine that. They came to something called the Fundamental Orders, right? The original document, before there was even a U.S. Constitution. And I respect what our founders had in mind in terms of having a part-time or really a seasonal, as I said, a hybrid state legislature. So that way you have lawmakers who are tied to the district, mm-hmm. and they don't have to spend forever on issues like this where it just gets kicked on down the field, unfortunately. And so I just have real concerns as to where a full-time state legislature would actually address this bigger problem of holding everything at the last minute. You know, that would almost be like telling a student who does everything at the last minute, we're going to do a take-home exam. Do you think they're really going to solve the issues before us? Maybe not.
Do you do those with your students at Southern or not?
Oh, yeah.
Huh? Oh, do you? Okay.
I do. And guess what? You still get the sloppy result among so many students. Not everyone, but you still get the last going to cram the session one way or the other.
Right. So you're sitting there one-on-one and you're going, Jimmy, didn't you know that, and I gave this, well, professor, it was like this. Yeah, I get it. I understand it.
Right. I still need two more days.
Yeah, right. Okay. John, and today we get this budget implementer bill, which I get it. It's the keys to the car. You need to, you know, vote on that so the budget can take effect. But again, we're seeing almost hour by hour what my dear friends in the General Assembly call rats, stuff put in there that could not get out of the regular process, John, but end up being in there in a bill that the majority knows that everybody has to pass. And again, I hate to sound like a sixth grade social studies teacher. It's mm-hmm. just bad governance. It really is.
You know, it's even a bigger issue, Paul, and I'm certain your listeners have an understanding of this. It's the fact that look what happened even in our state Senate, right? The caucus weren't even all on board. They were still divided. It came down to a close vote last week of mm-hmm. 17 and 19,
yeah.
and the House couldn't get the votes even within the caucus among the Democrats to even bring it up on the last day of our General Assembly. So this is quite unusual, but it shouldn't be so surprising. That's why I kind of ended at the end saying, let's go Mets. They have a better shot of going to the World Series than maybe dealing with this in time for our General Assembly.
Hey,
and
listen.
Some of the responses on Twitter among the Democratic leadership saying it's going to happen today, no matter what.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Oh, yeah.
We'll see. But you know, John, doesn't this, as we wrap up here, Jonathan Wharton's a guest from Southern. This really does come down to the voters, John, doesn't it? I mean, you know, there's such entrenched voters on both sides that sometimes they lose sight of the fact that you can make a change. And I know seniority says a lot, and the candidates say, well, if you remove me, you may not get that new playscape or that traffic light put up. But, you know, John, I don't know who said it. There's debate over who said it. But that old phrase, people get the government they deserve, it does play out that way, doesn't it?
And voter turnout. Don't forget that. In our state and local races, especially in a lot of cities, you're looking to get 20% turnout. And for the state, you know, positions for a General Assembly, the number is barely scratching, you know, 30-40%, unfortunately, mm-hmm. when it's not a presidential or national election. So that says a lot about our voters as well as who we elect.
Dr. Jonathan Wharton, Associate Dean, School of Graduate and Professional Studies at Southern Connecticut State University. John, as always, thanks. Appreciate it. Be good. We'll talk.
Thank you, Paul. Take care.
Appreciate it. Dr. Jonathan Wharton there. All right, folks. Guess what? is in the budget implementer. I'm going to call the implementer the screw you bill. That's what I'm going to. A pilot program for speed cameras in highway work zones. Lawmakers have been unable to pass a bill allowing traffic cameras to be used to enforce motor vehicle laws. But the bill would establish a pilot program for use of such cameras in construction zones at three locations across the state. Now, before you crawl up my backside on this, I think that's a good idea. I like that. I see idiots and morons every night speeding like crazy, you know, on the parkway and on 95 and on 91 through construction zones. You know, and I'm sitting there behind the wheel going, you idiots, slow down. There are people working there. Okay, that's not the issue. The issue here, folks, is this was debated. It was in committee. I think this bill got a vote. It didn't go anywhere. So the majority Democrats, I'm sorry, yes, the truth hurts. If you don't like me saying Democrats, turn the radio off. Go listen to NPR. At this point, I don't care. Because they have discussions over there. Yes, we have discussions. The Democrats just put this in the budget bill that comes down at 3 o'clock in the morning. So what good, and I dare any Democratic legislator to call me and talk to me about this. I dare you. What good is the legislative process if, when you people don't get what you want, you just stick stuff in here that you know has to be voted on within a day or so? I mean, you talk about the utter height of arrogance, of bastardizing the process. It's nauseating. It is nauseating. Yeah, the Constitution stayed my rear.